Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I've been thinking that I should say what Jordan, Jesse, Go is at the top of the show.
Okay. Like Flophouse style?
Well, I just want people, if somebody's the first time listening to Jordan, Jesse, Go,
yeah,
that we would have the opportunity to ease them in.
Okay, yeah. No, I mean, I think that's good. I mean, I think we have a big guest this week.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it. Miss Delta Burke.
Yes.
From Designing Women.
Wait a minute. You just spoiled it.
Sorry. I mean, forget you heard that. But, I mean, I'm acknowledging that there probably are a lot of first-time listeners.
Right.
Burke's big on Twitter.
Jordan, Jesse, Go is a big show all about Designing Women.
Yeah. It's the X-Files files of Designing Women. We just go down Designing Women episode by episode.
With Delta Burke.
With Miss Delta Burke.
Man, it is such an honor to be sitting in the same room as Delta Burke. The late Delta Burke?
She might be dead.
Who knows?
She could very well be dead. Let's not check up on that.
I remember that African-American gentleman from that program. He
sure.
passed on.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
He survived by Delta Burke.
This is the level of expertise that I bring to my Designing Women podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, the third build star of the hit show.
I think he may be dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, now the one where they go to the horse race. I'm assuming that's the plot of one.
Do you think there's anything we could say? What could we say at the beginning of the show to encapsulate Jordan, Jesse, Go so that if someone is checking in for the first time, be it because they're a Delta Burke fan or for whatever other reason, they would understand what was going on.
How about this? Hey, it's Jordan, Jesse, Go. We're going to be geeking out about all kinds of topics. Craft beer, science, the metric system. We're doing it all. Minecraft tutorials.
Jordan,
girls, gear, gift guides. I'm just trying to make it a little buzzier, you know?
What if we just – I think your idea of transforming this into a lifestyle project is great. What if it's for guys?
For guys.
It's a hot podcast.
Yep.
For guys.
And I like
only.
That we're changing our tone of voice.
It's a hot podcast.
We got it all.
Just
gear,
for guys.
Sports, wings, Bruce. Yeah, we got that. Jordan, Jesse, Go. Yeah, we got that.
It's a hot podcast.
I think that's already
all about the guy-on-guy lifestyle.
Yeah. We're guys, and we're going to get on other guys.
Yeah.
And that's not an accidental innuendo. We're going to suck their dicks.
I might be on the wrong show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Delta Burke.
Thank you for having me.
from the hit television program Silicon Valley, which is so delightful on it. He, of course, also the star of NTSF colon SD colon SUV colon colon.
You got it.
He's the star of other film and television programs of various types. Television's own Martin Starr.
Thank you.
Martin, I think the last time we chatted...
That was a... Yes.
You were doing some grinding in Destiny. Is that still going on?
I grinded.
Are you done grinding?
Yeah. I ground out.
Okay.
What a coincidence. I ground some chuck the other day.
Oh, that's nice.
Just raw chuck.
Well, you have to freeze it a little bit first.
Do you?
Or else it
does
will
really? Do you have a grinder?
Gum up. Well, I have a grinder attachment for my KitchenAid.
Got it.
So you got to get it. It can't be frozen solid.
Right.
But if it's warm, it'll just gum up the works, Martin.
Mm. Now, are you a gunner class or a wizard class?
KitchenAid class.
Oh, KitchenAid class.
Yeah. Italian cooking class.
So effective melee attacks then.
Yeah.
Have you been grinding in any regard?
Not. You know, I chose not to play Jesse, for you. Maybe you know this. Destiny is the game that the Halo guys quit making Halo to make.
Oh.
And it's a little bit of what we call a grind. Maybe similar to your Skyrim. There's a lot of leveling up that happens.
So a lot of grinding.
A lot of grinding.
Is it at all like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
No, it is not.
Is that very grinding-centric?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's actually similar in some ways.
What are those ways?
I can't think of them right now.
They both star Tony Hawk, yeah. For one thing.
Soundtrack by Goldfinger.
there's kind of skateboards in both.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, they're a futuristic skateboard. You know, I chose to skip Destiny. I think it is – seems like a lot of fun, maybe not my thing. I don't like a grind in a game, personally.
It was unfinished.
Yeah.
It was a game that came out unfinished. That
okay.
That was the
I've heard that.
Result.
I've heard that criticism lobbed at it.
Yes, there was miscast vocal actors. There's a slew of issues with
that. Wait a minute. Are you telling me?
Correct.
That in a major video game release, there was miscast vocal actors?
Correct.
I feel like there is not a video game that I have played in the last 5 years that didn't feature some
Peter Dinklage?
Fourth level famous person in a completely inappropriate role where you just feel like somebody knew Ice-T.
Right.
Or somebody.
Ray Liotta.
Yeah, Ray Liotta. Exactly. And these are talented people. It's not about them not being talented people.
And it seems like they're always being directed by someone whose English is their second language and their first language is Swedish.
Yes. I saw it at Max Von Con a couple years ago. Lee Unkrich showed this video. He directed Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed this video of Tom Hanks tracking a line for Toy Story 3, or a couple lines. It was a few sentences. And so first he shows the movie, and then they have this thing where they show the camera in the vocal booth that's synced to what's happening in the movie, you know, like for your DVD extras or whatever. And they show him going through the line once cleanly in the booth. And then they show it as it appeared in the movie. It's very different reads in the two of them. And then he showed this video of the booth video edited to be to have the same sound clips as the as actually ended up in the movie. Mm-hmm. And there were like in this three sentences, there were like 20 edit points, maybe 25 edit points. Like often inside of a word, there would be an edit. So like it would be half of a word from one take, half of a word from another take.
And no, duh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was so. I mean, it was totally amazing because you know that's one of the greatest actors.
Sure.
Wonderful film.
But he just couldn't do it, huh?
But
he
I
just
like,
couldn't.
Hanks
do
was
it.
Too fucked up. Hanks was coked out of his mind.
Pills, man. It's the pills.
But well,
yeah.
All I'm saying
yeah,
is
Hanks loves coke pills.
All I'm saying is I don't think that's the process when Ray Liotta comes into track.
To do Grand Theft Auto
for Grand Theft Auto, they just give him 5,000 pages of dialogue. He does one take of everything.
I will say I just finished Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor.
How was that?
I thought the voice acting was very good in that.
See?
Yeah, definitely.
It can be done.
It can be, yeah.
What's Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor?
It's a video game set in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Mm-hmm.
You are a ranger who has been possessed by a wraith.
Okay.
And you go off to slay various orc captains. For instance, Skadoosh the Unkillable.
Gotcha.
Skadoosh.
Does his name turn out to be quite ironic?
When I'm there, when I'm playing the game, it's pretty ironic.
Gotcha.
Because he's getting an arrow through the face.
Gotcha.
The plot, Tolkienian nonsense.
Just
but,
utter madness.
But the voice acting, very good, I thought.
I don't know what the plot of any video game is.
Yeah.
Once Kumail said to me, you should get this video game where you live in a cloud city and you shoot sort of
BioShock.
There you
sure.
go.
Oh yeah, BioShock.
So I got
the first one was great.
Okay, so I don't know. It wasn't the first. It was the most recent one, which I don't think was the first.
BioShock
one.
No. Infinite sounds like.
There
the
you
play.
Go. Yeah. There you go. That's the one.
That one was good too. I didn't get through it all, but it was good.
I played that. I probably put 15-20 hours into playing that game, maybe even more.
Sure.
No fucking clue what was happening in it. No fucking clue. Just less than zero idea of what was happening in this game.
I mean, I think video games are getting there, but I don't think anyone's ever been able to get over the hump that these are not designed to have plots. Like, these were not invented with plot in mind.
That's the part that I don't understand. Like, it's a game. Why not have it be a game?
Sure.
That's the plot, that you have a game. Not everything has to be narrative.
I think there are examples of people doing both well, but it's few and far between.
There you go.
Few and far between.
They don't all need a narrative.
E.T. No. for Atari.
E.T. for Atari. You play as a box who has to get up to a series of other boxes.
You got it.
With noise.
Well, at the top is the telephone for you to phone home.
Yeah. As oversaid as it is, I think that the plot for The Last of Us was great. It was legitimately great.
What's that?
This is a PS3 game that came out last year. Kind of.
Sorry, I have an Xbox 360.
I'm sorry. Well, you can't play The Last of Us. Oh, anyways.
Wait, really?
Can I get it on? Can I get it on Netflix?
No, I'm sorry. You can only get Black Mirror on Netflix.
I have Amazon
Prime.
Oh,
man, Black Mirror is great.
Yeah, Black Mirror is real good.
I watched two Black Mirrors like 3 years ago, and they upset me so much that I promised myself I would never watch it again.
Yeah, yeah. I would not guess that you have the disposition to watch Black Mirror.
Oh,
I think
boy.
You are.
The Constitution.
Oh, there
that's
was
the Constitution that I said disposition.
It would break you down.
There was something about.
Did you watch the pig fucking one?
Yeah,
that's so intense. I had like a hard time sleeping after that.
I had a raging boner.
That's why I had a hard time sleeping. I had to jack off.
You couldn't roll over.
Yeah.
Did you? How many? Which three did you see? Did you see the whole first season then?
I think I saw two of them. I saw a pig fucking one. I don't remember what
the other
one
was. Did you see the future one on the bikes?
Maybe so. This was literally like 4 years ago.
Bit of like American Idol feel.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That was pretty intense.
That one was great.
It makes me want to cry.
They make me hate the episode at about 48 minutes. And then at 54, they make me love it again.
Yeah, like it's a roller coaster. It's a goddamn roller coaster.
The conclusion gets me. Like at I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but the way that they concluded the purpose of the pig fucking. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, like,
to me that,
I feel like I watched
reality.
Five plates of credits hating it, and then they did that little post-credits thing. I'm like, of course that's how it would go.
Of course.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to ruin it for everybody, but as it turns out, the protagonist has a human face and everyone else has a pig's face.
That's true, yeah. Oh. I think you're
so
thinking
that's
of
why
the
they
Twilight
all think
zone.
He's so
you might
ugly.
Have seen a different
did you
episode.
Watch, was this in black and white? Did Rod Serling?
Black Mirror.
No, this is the Twilight Zone. Was it Rod Serling host it?
Of course Rod Serling is the host of Black Mirror.
No, this is the Twilight Zone.
Why did he introduce the episode of Black Mirror that I watched?
Black Mirror is in color.
You guys are both mixed up. I think you're thinking of Twilight Mirror.
Twilight Mirror!
It's Twilight colon Breaking Mirror.
Yeah.
This is the third and final of the Twilight series.
Well, I'm glad we sorted all that out. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
You wish.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier. I host and produce a show called Destination DIY. It's all about people doing interesting things. And we're really excited to be bringing it to Maximum Fun. When you hear DIY, you might think of knitting or building a birdhouse, but we're really more interested in people doing stuff like hacking the healthcare system, creating their own currencies, building their own spacesuit, that kind of thing. We're here to remind you that you are an authority. And we think you're going to like our stories about makers, builders, inventors, and all kinds of creative people. Check out Destination DIY at MaximumFun.org. Or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm neither of them.
It's true. Addition by subtraction. Is that the right?
Yeah.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. Guilty by association.
Martin Starr from television Silicon Valley. It's always fun to have you here, Martin. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm
14 years.
It's been 14 years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine when Martin came on our show?
Mm-hmm.
It was in your house.
Six or seven years before it was created.
Mm-hmm. This is when it was hosted by you and Eric Estrada, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is before I was even on the show.
It was just me and Eric Estrada, Jordan Jesse Go.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really, the name didn't click yet.
Yeah.
Jordan, didn't I talk once on the show about running across a strange children's book at the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store by my house?
I think so. Is this the one
Oh, it was the one about a bris.
Oh, I don't think I – yeah, you think you've talked about this.
Okay. Well
– there's also the Richard Scarry one about donuts.
Oh, that one, that did not – that was somehow ended up in my house.
Okay.
I don't know. It
Ghosts?
Introduced it. It was horrible. That is a horrible book. Maybe a month ago on this show, I discussed this children's book about bris that I found at the St. Vincent de Paul, and I really wanted to know how they dealt with the issue of cutting off
the foreskin.
The foreskin, and it turns out that it is in like a
in like turns a, out it's the most inappropriate pop up book ever.
25 or 30 page book. It was just one sentence, and the each page had like two, three paragraphs on it. It was a very dense children's book, and it just said the rabbi removes some extra skin from the baby.
Hmm. That's it. That's how they went about.
That's how they dealt with it. But.
Did they talk about him kissing the blood away?
Is that something?
Part of it? That's what they used to do.
That doesn't seem.
It's weird.
Inappropriate.
It's weird, but
that's, if God told you to do it, I mean, I say go ahead and do it. You know.
Apparently, that's how like 25 kids got herpes in one small town.
Oh God! But if Abraham did it to Isaac,
yeah,
who are we to say? We probably shouldn't kiss penis blood.
I did not read this book because I could not bring myself to do it. But yeah. There was.
And you're anti-Semitic.
No, I did. I read that book.
Oh, the bris book.
The bris book I read. Mm-hmm. I was completely absorbed. I was there earlier today, like 90 minutes ago, and I came across a book, a children's book, mm-hmm. called Jerry Seinfeld Halloween.
It's just called not Jerry Seinfeld's Halloween. Totally Jerry Seinfeld.
Totally unrelated to Jerry Seinfeld.
Unauthorized.
Yeah, Halloween's just a person's surname. Coincidentally, Seinfeld is his middle name. It was. It had a giant. I couldn't read it because it literally upset me to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fan of Jerry Seinfeld. Let's
and
be clear.
Halloween.
The creator of one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. Certainly probably the most important in my life. You know, great stand-up comic. And I really enjoy comedians in cars getting coffee.
Sure.
Enjoy that very much.
His cameo in Top 5 was delightful.
Can I say something
about... Oh, way to ruin that movie for me.
No, sorry.
Can I offer...
Jerry Seinfeld fucks a pig. Sorry. Double spoilers.
Can I offer one side note about comedians and cars getting coffee?
You may.
I do really like comedians and cars getting coffee. And our friend Bill Burr, stand-up comic Bill Burr, was on that show, a past Jordan Jesse Go guest. And Bill was the first guest to explicitly state what I think is the theme of every episode of that program. Have you seen it before?
I have not. I have a hard time getting past the Vanity Project aspect of it. And I think if I watched it, I would not like it just because I am
because
mad.
It's such a Vanity Project?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's because the log line of it is I'm combining my love of X with my love of cars.
Yeah.
Anyways, I do – it probably is a good show, but I think my – I'm not ready for it personally. I need to find – I need to look into my heart.
You don't need to.
Look into it.
I look into my heart.
You don't have
forgive,
to watch the show, but look into your heart.
Forgive rich guys who are super into cars and then watch the show.
I have to say I'm a big fan of the show.
Sure.
I like to watch every episode when it comes up on my Crackle app on my Xbox 360. In fact, I like it so much that I downloaded a Crackle app.
Hey.
But I would be hesitant to describe it as anything other than inessential.
Sure. Okay.
You don't need to go way out of your way to watch it, though it's very pleasant.
Maybe if I was a rich guy, I would like Cars too, because I could afford all these cars. Anyway.
I like cars. I'm not a rich guy.
Yeah.
I got a $10,000 car. I like cars.
Yeah. I like cars, but I'm not like thinking about them all the time.
I fuck cars.
What?
I should explain. I'm a car.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah. I'm going to text you a photo later.
Martin,
there's an internet guy that I'm sure people have seen on the internet.
Who fucks cars?
He's a car fucker, but his the ultimate erotic experience that he ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know if he fucked it or just, like, kissed it. What? I'm going to say he fucked it because it makes the story better. He fucked Airwolf. The helicopter that played Airwolf.
Amazing.
What and that's like called? That's like the hardest this guy has ever blasted
before. People that fall
before.
In love with objects or are sexually attracted to objects? What is that called again?
Jordan Morris?
Jordan Morris.
Oh, right, right, right.
I'm telling a story about me. I'm telling how hard I blasted when I fucked Airwolf.
To be fair, you are on the internet.
That's true.
I mean, you've got
I've
DSL,
got a presence.
Right?
Yeah.
I believe you've got DSL.
I had dial-up. But.
So on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Bill, have you ever seen the show, Martin?
Mm-mm, I've heard about it you mostly.
Then I'll have to assume that some portion of our audience have seen it for them to understand how profound this statement was. But basically, Bill Burr laid bare that the entire theme of that show is that Jerry Seinfeld pretends to be a nice man and isn't a not nice man, but is just deeply and profoundly misanthropic.
Sure.
Like, basically, the entire show is Jerry Seinfeld waiting to turn anything that happens into a weird little bit. Mm-hmm. A funny weird little bit because he's a comedy genius. Mm-hmm. He's one of the greatest stand-up comics of all time. He invented contemporary observational humor. And he's hilarious on the show. Mm-hmm. And often he's with a guest that's hilarious. But you can just see his eyes glaze over whenever he has to talk about anything. Just any time he has to engage someone on any level other than let's do a bit together. He just dies inside. He just wilts like an old flower. And
do you think it's because then he would have to admit to himself that he still dates 17-year-olds and would rather drive a Ferrari around forever than?
To be fair, I think the man's married to an adult.
Oh, is she 18 now?
it's a different one.
Look out, Mrs. Seinfeld! You're about to get kicked to the curb
at one point.
But he, I'm kidding. I don't know or care about his sexual life.
When he says something, it's just about how everything in the world upsets him. Just everything on earth upsets him.
It seems like a bit of a miserable life his.
It's
and not and not by any – I mean by his own
He's
got to
take care of all those classic cars.
He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks, like $1 million.
I feel like Jay Leno is probably also miserable.
Really? You don't think Jay Leno's just happy? You don't think Jay Leno's just a pig in slop?
I don't think he's as happy as he would like you to think he is.
Who do you guys think the happiest celebrity is?
I think just being a celebrity, period, is such a difficult venture to, like, also be happy in. You have to have such a grounded – you got to have a good head on your shoulders.
Do you think George Clooney might be happy?
Yes. He seems happy.
What about that? I mean, I think –
he seems like he's doing things that are valuable for himself and doing things that help to promote his business life. They work hand in hand.
I read a magazine story about how he flies all of his high school buddies to a cabin in the mountains every year. And Richard Kind. So that seems fun that he still hangs out with his high school buddies and they get to share in his crazy wealth.
You know what? You know who seems happy? Richard Kind.
Oh, yeah. I saw Richard Kind on the street when I was in New York.
Oh, that sounds fun.
He didn't look that happy, actually.
No.
But maybe he was just a little lost.
Usually he's just a ray of light.
Yeah, yeah.
No hangdog looks from that guy.
You know what? Amy Adams. I bet you Amy Adams is happy.
Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin.
Yeah, Blake Griffin. He's got to get to do those cool Game Flight commercials.
Yeah.
Which Amy is Amy Adams? Is Amy Adams the one that was on The Wire, or is she the one that's...
Well, there's only one Amy Adams.
Well, there's two Amys. I said, which Amy is Amy Adams?
Got it.
I get the two Amys, two celebrity Amys mixed up. Amy Ryan is from The Wire, says Brian Fernandez into our earphones. Okay. I bet Amy Ryan's happier than Amy Adams.
Yeah, not
wanna
as famous.
Want to get him on the phone?
Let's get him on the horn. Amy.
Which one should I call?
You know what? I'll call. You call Amy Ryan. Jesse, you call Amy Adams. I'll call Amy Mann. Just get throwing her in there.
Oh, great!
I bet Amy Mann is very happy.
She's very sincere.
Sure.
She's earnest.
Mm-hmm. Lots of scarves.
You know what?
Friends with Ted Leo? That sounds like a great life.
Can I be clear about something when I say earnest?
Yeah.
A lot of times earnest is a way to insult someone for not being clever or something. That's not how I meant it.
It's also someone who has both gone to jail and saved Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, earnest.
I really like Amy Mann goes to jail.
Amy Mann seems like she's really doing her thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like she really believes in her work and that's what I mean by that.
I find that people say more than Ernest. They'll say, yeah, he's really nice. That's like the
that's the cutting slam.
Yeah. But it's not intentionally cutting. It's just like, I don't know what else to say about them.
Yeah. You know who's nice, Jordan?
And usually they are really nice.
Martin Starr.
Thanks, guys.
That guy.
Thanks,
I think
guys.
He's more earnest nice than guy. He's nice.
Yeah, he's both.
What? Both?
He is a little bit like Ernest.
I feel yeah. like you guys are
have
really
have you ever gone to jail?
To hurt me.
Have you ever fought goblins on Halloween?
Ever been scared stupid?
Not yet.
So yes. Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes, I have.
Jerry Seinfeld Halloween.
Yeah.
It's an orange book, and it just has a giant caricature of contemporary Jerry Seinfeld, or, you know, maybe 10 years ago, eight
sure.
years ago, Jerry Seinfeld.
What is he wearing? Is he wearing jeans and a polo? Is he wearing
He's
a blazer?
He's wearing like a Superman costume. Like, I think, if I'm remembering correctly,
sure.
it's like one of those, but like one of those kind of bib costumes that's mm-hmm. barely anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like a basically a garbage bag with Superman written on it.
Side note.
Yeah.
So Jerry Seinfeld famously liked Superman.
Yeah.
Do you think he was like into... Do you think he just liked to buy shit with Superman on it, or do you think he was like concerned with Superman continuity?
Like, does he have strong
was
opinions
he a super
about
nerd?
Mr. Mitsopitalik?
Sure, yeah. Does he know that there's an Earth 2?
I think this is what I think.
Okay.
I think he knows a lot about what are we probably Silver Age.
Mm-hmm.
I get my ages mixed up.
Yeah.
But I think it would be probably about Silver Age, right? Like the 60s or something.
Yeah.
Right, that's about Jerry Seinfeld's era.
Okay.
So he's about 60 or so, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So that would put him, yeah, somewhere in okay. the 60s where he was. Like, he knows his childhood Superman, but as an adult, he takes his Superman in, like, alarm clock form.
Okay. a giant framed picture of a Superman stamp that's, like, in his living room or something.
Does he have a exactly. tattoo of the Superman logo on his butt?
I wish. That would be so hot. That would
think,
be so fucking hot.
I'm trying
whoa,
to think
whoa, whoa.
Back.
Put your dick away.
No,
your
no,
dick
no.
Away.
I'm sorry, guys.
Jordan.
Gotta jerk it.
This isn't the place.
If not now, when? Oh, at home.
Okay.
When I'm alone.
All right. Yes. Yes. I mean.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll finish
right.
up. And I'm done.
You guys have any other feelings about. So anyway, Jerry Seinfeld Halloween. That's it. It just says Jerry Seinfeld Halloween.
You didn't read it?
I'm still amazed that we came back to the book.
Well, I want to wrap
off,
it up.
We went off forever.
That's because I'm a professional.
You got to come
host.
Back around. If you,
you
leave
come
a,
back around.
If you leave a hanging thread, autistics will stop listening.
Yeah.
So.
Is that a big part of the audience?
Hard
we
to say.
We are podcasters.
Hard to say.
Is that a new demo? Just.
Yeah. I have a new podcast where I just throw it out a box of toothpicks.
And that's it.
That's it.
Silence from the majority
yeah,
of
like,
the time.
How many do you think there were? Anyway.
Jerry Seinfeld, Halloween.
So you didn't read it?
Why would I?
So you could tell us about it.
Because
we're
was,
curious.
It was weird. It gave me the creeps.
Yeah.
Because it was like adult Jerry Seinfeld in a giant head caricature.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a finely wrought boardwalk caricature of him as a child with an adult head, a giant adult head on Halloween. And then on the back, I looked at the back of it briefly, and it contained no further evidence as to what it was.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't,
did
like...
Did you look inside the book?
No.
Yeah.
I told you I didn't want it in there.
That's how the spirits get out. The spirit of character Jerry Seinfeld is trapped in the book.
Listen,
if the Evil Dead movies have taught me anything...
Which they clearly have.
They've taught me a lot. Is if you see a creepy book... Don't open it and recite what's in it.
Yeah.
Or else you'll be dead by dawn.
Or bare minimum, you're going to have to take baby Jerry Seinfeld trick-or-treating.
Yeah, it's so weird that the star of a sitcom for grown-ups, like, oh, I think kids will relate to this man.
It was like, you know what I think it might have been?
Does he have kids?
I think he does. I think
his wife,
whether 17 or not... Doesn't she do like healthy cookbooks? Isn't that
she
her
does.
Thing?
She's an interesting character, but he definitely has kids because there was the best moment in the history of comedians and cars getting coffee was he had Colin Quinn on, and Jerry Seinfeld was saying stuff about kids and like how he experiences the world and through their eyes, And it's like being young again. And he basically said it gives him a reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really basically just said that. And Colin Quinn was sort of confused, but Jerry Seinfeld was basically saying, you're old, you know, what? You've seen everything. Nothing's exciting anymore. Why would you want to be around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And Colin Quinn's like, geez, I don't know. And then Jerry Seinfeld's like, you don't have kids. Why do you get up in the morning? What is there in this world to get excited about? And then Colin Quinn goes, well, I hear that Downton Abbey's pretty good.
I like Colin Quinn.
Yeah. Colin Quinn is hilarious. Anyway, that's the story of when I found Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Martin.
Who is it?
That was nice enough. Jordan here.
Hey, Jordan.
I was addressing the audience and tell them you were nice enough to bring us some delicious, healthy Brazil nuts to snack on.
You're welcome.
Was that was a
That's
Christmas?
Not for everybody. Just,
no, yeah.
Just the people.
Did you bring enough for everyone listening to the podcast?
No.
Did you bring enough for Brian? Because
yes.
It seems like what you're excluding right now is Brian.
No, Brian, you can have some, but you have to wait till you open the door again and give us some fresh air.
That was a Christmas gift, the bag of Brazil nuts?
It was in my stocking.
Oh.
And did they come in that sort of grocery store bag that you...
Correct.
So not a lot of artifice in your stockings.
And it says organic Brazil nuts on one side of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the twist tie.
Yes, correct.
Oh.
It's a combination label and twist tie.
And it had the ribbon.
Oh, it does have a nice ribbon.
Yeah. My mom went for it.
So what... Is this a typical thing for you to get in your stocking?
I don't have stockings. So
okay.
No.
So this was a first?
We haven't done stockings in a while. I think
is
the last
it because
time...
your mother is Jewish, but she's dating a Lutheran? And so they decided to have both at home this year?
No, but would you like to guess again? Because I think you're on to something.
That's a plan I came up with that would explain why you haven't had stockings before and why your mom had such an odd idea for a thing to put in a stocking.
No, it's because I think she's been more health conscious lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't know. Usually we go away for Christmas, like to Kansas or something, and see our relatives. But this year we just kind of had a Christmas here in LA, and we saw some of my friends, went to two different friends' places, and then we went to the Clippers game.
Oh.
And she's brought over a stocking.
I feel like the Clippers beat the Warriors on Christmas Day.
They did. It was a great, great game.
What a disappointment. I bet you were disappointed because, like any right-thinking man, you were rooting for the Warriors.
Nope.
He's got a Clippers hat on his knee, folks. Yeah. He's a fan of the Clippers.
And today they just lost to the Toronto Raptors, unfortunately.
Well, God. Fucking Drake somewhere celebrating.
Fucking Drake.
I can't stand thinking about Drake being happy.
Do you know what?
Hmm.
Sometimes I think that, like, every time, like, you would think that
every
Drake
time.
Wouldn't be happy because so many of his records are so mopey and self-pitying. But I think self-pity makes him happy.
Ah, of course.
I thought
fucking
you were going to say... Do you think that every time Drake smiles, an angel dies?
That's originally what I was going to say. I changed course early in the sentence.
I met him once. He was very nice.
I've heard that about Drake.
Yeah. I mean, he's Canadian. What are you going
to
do?
Oh, sure. Polite.
Yeah. Nice guy. I don't like his music, but I think he's a nice guy.
Okay.
You know what I think he should do? Just act.
Yeah.
You know, he's handsome. Is on Degrassi Junior High or whatever?
Sure, he's proved his chops in the world of teen soaps, which is the hardest kind of acting. Martin, you're an actor. You know that, you know, that's the big time.
Listen, what? I think it's all really easy.
Acting?
No. yeah, especially junior high school acting.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah, Drake, get out of the music game. Just get that beautiful... face on our tubes.
If he hadn't been on Degrassi Junior High and instead he had been on The Voyage of the Mimi, a different show that I would watch when I was homesick from school on PBS, I would be 100% behind him. That's why I'm behind Ben Affleck. He was on The Voyage of the Mimi. I think he's great just because I have all these fond memories of the episode where they got stranded and they didn't have fresh water, and then the deaf woman
created a tarp.
Oh, made a tarp to collect
water. I remember
the water.
That tarp.
That sounds like a good episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, it does.
Have you guys tried listening to his first album?
Drake's first album?
Yeah.
I have not, no.
I have only listened to...
I listened to it three times.
I think
a friend of mine got it for me.
When it was happening.
Yeah.
I think I listened to it, yeah.
I listened to it three times, and I only say tried because I feel like I never really connected with it, and I think that's the problem that I have with it, is that
he wasn't on Voyage of the Mimi?
It's that he wasn't on Voyage of the Mimi. There was no – I didn't find any depth in the songs that I could relate to. There was no humanity in it. It was like at least when I listened to Lil Wayne, there's he's just going crazy. He's just trying to make up the craziest shit and doing as much wordplay as possible. And he's good at it. He's really good at it.
Great at it. Exceptionally good at it.
But I haven't found what there is about Drake that I can connect with.
Have you gentlemen watched the documentary about Lil Wayne?
Yes. Heard about this.
It's incredible.
This is a thing I should watch it. I've had it described to me at countless parties. I should just watch the thing.
You should watch it. It's sincerely one of the best documentaries about, or it maybe isn't one of the most artful documentaries about art that I've ever seen. It's not ineffective. It's a pretty good, well-constructed, but that's not the thing that makes it so amazing.
No.
It's just watching Lil Wayne is unfucking real.
Yeah.
It is unreal. It's like you're watching some kind of insane space genius.
Yeah.
It is crazy. And then Baby, a.k.a. number one stunner, comes on and... A.K.A. Birdman, from the Rich Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes on, and he is literally the most bone-chillingly terrifying human being I've ever watched do anything. He has, he doesn't just have a dead soul. He has a soul that seems to sort of seep out through his face tattoos and suck the life out of other souls around him.
Do you think dead eyes come with a face tattoo? Because those two things are linked, right?
Well, Lil Wayne has a bunch of face tattoos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Lil Wayne's
not
a very lively
soul. Dead eye.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
They seem to be linked, though.
I'll tell you what. There's something about, there's this scene in the movie where Baby gives Lil Wayne a Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's instead of paying him for anything he's ever done in his entire career.
No, I think Lil Wayne's making the money at this point.
You think Lil Wayne's making the money?
Oh, yeah. Birdman had a moment.
You don't think Birdman's taken home? Birdman is the founder and creator of the most successful independent label in hip-hop history.
Yeah, but Lil Wayne is making the money. I mean, he's the face of it. Without him, there is no label. Birdman had a minute in, 2002 or 2004 where, I just remember everyone that I knew was listening to a song or two of his, and then his album came out.
Oh, well, I don't think he's...
And then I haven't heard of him again except in connection to Lil Wayne.
Oh, yeah, but I think he's stealing / taking everyone's money on the entire label. I don't think he's making Lil Wayne money as a rapper.
He's Master P-ing it.
And more in a terrifying and upsetting way. Based on this documentary, in which Lil Wayne, knowing that people are making a documentary about him, just drinks codeine cough syrup out of a giant big gulp glass the entire time.
That's great.
In every single scene.
He's clearly an alcoholic. There's rampant drug abuse.
It is insane.
Madness. Guys, I'm going to watch this thing. I'm going to watch it.
And he doesn't even need to be sober to get up on stage and be a genius.
And that's one of the it is one of the most compelling documents of genius that I've ever seen. To see artistic genius happening before your eyes.
I wonder if it's just he's been conditioned. That's all he knows.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's what it is.
That's the one thing he can do. Eating might be a problem, but anytime he can get up on stage or with a microphone or with a pen in his hand, he can come up with amazing lyrics for a rap song.
All he's dedicated his entire life to since he was 12 years old or however old he was when he signed is that kick flips and playing horrible guitar for a period of about 3 or 4 years there, like 4 or 5 years ago. That was bad. But yeah, anyway, watch that Lil Wayne documentary. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Bye.
This is All Things Considered.
This is 99% Invisible.
We're listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour.
It's Bullseye.
The podcast Song Exploder does pretty much what its name suggests. Musicians break apart songs so you can hear the pieces.
Track by track, instrument by instrument.
How they were imagined, created, and built into a composition.
And all of these artistic decisions are packed into this 11 or 12 minute show. It's really fascinating to hear them explain how they fit these pieces together.
The concept is simple, but brilliant.
Subscribe to Song Exploder at songexploder.net. You can also find it on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm neither of them once more.
If you're one of those people that hates chewing in your ear, it's my fault. I literally started this segment just as Martin Starr was putting a Brazil nut into his mouth. Isn't that always the way? I feel like every time I start a segment, somebody's putting
a Brazil nut. Story of my life.
Yeah. Jeez
is it?
Louise.
It is.
That's the story.
I've got an awful life. I've had a very dull
just a lot of life. Chewing.
A lot of chewing.
A lot of healthy oils.
That's true. A lot of healthy oils.
Selenium.
Uh-huh. Healthy fats.
Guess what, gang? Two live Jordan Jesse Goes coming up.
What?
This is a rare opportunity for those of you on the West Coast.
Yeah.
We don't do this willy-nilly. We're not out on the road working the road like a...
We're not grinding. This isn't Destiny.
We're not Merle Haggard.
We're not looking for loot caves.
You're not out there.
Martin, did you find any loot caves while you're playing Destiny?
In real life, I find them all the time.
Oh, wow. You want to let me know where they are?
They're called alleys, and in these alleys there are things called dumpsters, and when you open them up, you get crazy things.
It sounds like great loot.
In these alleys, there's something called a heroin dealer.
He's got all the loot you need.
In Shadows of Mordor.
Yeah. Middle-earth Shadows of
how
Mordor.
How fast do the things happen?
When
I get flustered?
I think so, yeah. There's a lot of, like, fast fighting.
Okay.
A lot of combo-based action.
Oh, okay. No, I'm out.
Yeah.
I like going around and doing stuff.
Oh, yeah. If you want to grind, you should probably play Diablo.
I don't really want to grind. I want to have strategy.
Grind.
I like strategy more than grinding. I don't like anything where you have to do the same thing over and over. I hate that.
But you like Skyrim? Isn't that all Skyrim is?
You can do that in Skyrim. I learned later.
Sure.
I just played the adventures.
Gotcha.
And then you would just go from place to place playing adventures. Okay. And you would get more powerful by playing adventures.
Okay.
You know, shooting. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can kill a woolly mammoth now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shadow of Mordor is great. But yeah, I think, very, very fast, stressful battles.
Okay. No, I can't deal with that. Guess what I can deal with, Jordan?
Hmm.
Live Jordan Jesse Go shows.
Me too.
January 6th at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. MaximumFun.org presents. We're hoping to make this a regular UCB show.
That would be fun.
Maximum Fun presents. I think it's going to be really cool if people want to come to this.
Probably come.
Jordan Jesse
make
Go.
Make it a regular thing.
Jordan Jesse Go, along with Travis McElroy's new podcast with Andy Bolt, Bunker Buddies, which is a delightful program. It's going to be a quick show.
Sure.
Going to be a blast. We got Emily Gordon from the Indoor Kids coming along.
Mm-hmm.
She's delightful. Doesn't get any more delightful than Emily Gordon,
it
basically.
Doesn't. I think it's going to be a great show.
Martin Starr's
Martin
right
Starr.
Up there.
Delta Burke.
Emily Gordon's better. Delta Burke trumps everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Burke's the best.
Well, I mean, the thing is.
Old free blowjob Burke.
Oh, man. Her kids are really hating you guys.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Sorry, Jiminy Burke.
She's probably pumping her fist.
Son's name is Jiminy.
Is that real?
I don't know.
Son named Jiminy Burke. Tickets for that show are on sale. It's us, Emily Gordon, Bunker Buddies, Jiminy Burke,
mm-hmm.
and the ghost of the African-American gentleman from Designing Women.
He died.
The tickets for that are on sale at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater website, or you can find the link at MaximumFun.org. Just look in the right-hand column under live shows. And we're coming to SF Sketchfest.
Yes.
SF Sketchfest. SF Sketchfest alongside my brother and me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
This is just straight talk.
Sure.
Martin, do you mind being included in this fucking truth bomb?
Yeah, bring it.
We did a show with my brother and me here in Los Angeles a few months ago.
Sure.
It was a delight.
Blast.
It's always great to hang out with some of our favorite dudes who also host one of our favorite podcasts. That said, in future, I would like more Jordan Jesse Go fans to come to our show. You can and should also like my brother and me.
Yeah.
I just want less blank, confused stares when we walk on stage.
Let's have some enthusiasm. I mean, I think just the problem is the JJ Go fans, they're so notoriously chill.
Yeah.
They don't get those tickets till day of.
They're probably
day before.
They're out there chillaxing while the Mabim Bam fans. They're quick on the trigger.
Constantly refreshing.
Yeah.
Looking for the link to go up.
Yeah.
We'll make Pokemon jokes too.
Look, we're perfectly capable. I can do anything Justin McElroy can do. Mm-hmm. Jordan can handle Travis and Griffin.
There you go.
So you can make all the Pokemon jokes and all the like board game jokes or whatever it is that Travis jokes about.
Sure.
Let me be clear.
I don't know anything about either of those things. I will be making jokes about jokes I've heard about those.
Great. Yeah. Exactly. No, we're delighted for anyone who comes to our show, but we do want to see some Jordan Jesse Go fans
out there.
You can buy those tickets online. Just follow the link at MaximumFun.org, or you can go to sfsketchfest.com. That is going to be an absolute fucking delight. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be fucking before, after, and to some extent during the show.
Martin, all right. Are you guys doing Sketchfest stuff?
I'll be there.
What days will you be there? No, okay.
We can't now. I think they had initially scheduled us to do a panel, and I couldn't make it, but I think everybody else is coming up, and then our schedule changed. So we have to shoot on Saturday, I believe, which is when it cuts us out of that.
That's more money to spend on Jordan Jesse Go tickets, I guess.
There you go.
No, you don't understand. We get paid the same amount.
Oh. Okay. Well.
So what would you have paid for your Jordan Jesse Go tickets if you were coming up?
Well, I would have been like, I would have emailed you and been like, hey.
Get me on the list.
Jesse.
I'm going to get to put 10 people.
Get me in that coked out green room.
I got a couple friends coming to San Francisco with me. And I don't know. I mean, like if there's, you know.
Who would the friends have been?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Are you friends with Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, Peter.
Everyone on HBO is friends.
We all know each other.
You, Dinklage, Justin Theroux, Lena Dunham.
A small dragon is coming. hey, I have a real question.
Sure.
Yeah.
In Designing Women, they design cyborg female-looking women?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. It's about a futuristic real doll company. It's like an episode of Black Mirror in that
way. I can confirm.
But it's a whole show for seasons.
Yeah. Martin, I host a show about a podcast about designing women called Jordan Jesse Go. Mm-hmm.
Jordan Jesse Podcast.
And and I can confirm.
Do you know what it would be called if Chris Hardwick hosted an after show to Designing Women?
What's that?
Discussing Women. Anyway.
Oh, man. You know what it would be called if instead of Chris Hardwick hosting the show, it was two ladies and they had like festering sores?
You mean herpes.
Disgusting Women.
Disgusting Women, yeah.
Yeah.
This is fun. But yes, Designing Women is about a futuristic real doll factory, and the dolls eventually rise up to
Jordan.
Kill the humans fuck them.
Jordan,
yes, Jesse.
What if instead of coming on after Designing Women, it came on after some architects gave a talk? Guess what it would be called?
Designing Women.
No, Designing Buildings.
Oh.
Designing Buildings.
That'd be great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I like this building that we're in now.
This is a nice building.
Thank you.
Has
Thank
a good
you
feel
very
to
much,
it.
Martin.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you build it?
designing buildings with Martin Starr.
You just say you like a building, and then
Jesse
that's the end of the
Thorne.
Show.
Okay. If you're in San Francisco or Los Angeles, come to our show. I should also mention this SF Sketch Fest show will certainly have special. Special. Oh, God, I have a Brazil nut. Please have a Brazil nut on my uvula.
I'll finish your thought. This SF Sketchfest show will almost certainly have special punishments.
Oh, my God.
A lot of special punishments. So come and get punished.
Get your balls stomped on.
I had a poison Brazil nut. Yeah. I couldn't talk. I had a fleck of Brazil nut on my uvula.
That sounds hot. That's the kind of punishment we're looking for.
Yeah, hot nut punishments.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Jesse Morris.
No.
Wait, what?
What?
Sorry, I'm Jordan Thorne.
There you go.
Come on.
I'm Kumail Nanjiani.
There you go.
What's the cruelest thing?
I like all these names.
Martin Starr isn't even his real name. It's a stage name. Starr is short for Starkey.
Right, Martin Starkey. That's my real name. Why did you have to tell everyone?
Sorry.
You should team up with Jiminy Burke.
Martin Starkey and
Jiminy Starkey show.
Designing buildings.
It's Jiminy Starkey. We'll do a podcast soon. I'm sure he'll reach out to me as soon as he gets wind of this.
You said something when we were off microphone. You just offhandedly mentioned...
I went to an S&M club.
That you went to an S&M club in San Francisco shortly after shooting some scenes in AT&T Park.
I think it was the night before we were going to shoot, and we all got up there a day early. And...
The Silicon Valley gang.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is you.
It's me.
David Hewlett.
No.
John Packard.
It was me, Thomas, Zach.
The Gotta Get a Dell guy.
I think TJ was not there. And Kumail was having bowel issues, so he was at the hotel. So it was me, Thomas, Zach, and Jonathan, our like tech guy, and a friend of his who had introduced us to this adventure. And who else was there? I think there were other. Oh, and a couple other people that worked on the show. And I think there was like a group of like eight or nine of us. But for the most part, Thomas and I were talking about how weird the whole experience was. And we were just watching people. Like a woman just like walked up behind there's like a bit of like a gated off area, like velvet ropes. And on the other side, if you were part of this club, I guess, or I don't know if she paid to like do this or if it was just like this is just how it works. You come here regularly. But she like got tied up. Very slowly, like the whole process, like you're just watching this guy like meticulously wrap her, and she got completely naked. I think she had covers. I think she had like nipple tassels or something, and bikini bottoms. And then she got tied up and lifted up on the rafter. So then she's just like hanging, and then. He, like, flips her upside down, and so now she's hanging upside down, and she starts scrubbing his boots. And he's, like, he's in, like, a military garb, like, and then he's got, like, these black boots.
This is a very specific fantasy.
It was really interesting. It was just crazy, like, sit in a club drinking a beer watching this happen.
What kind of beers were available?
I don't know.
Some nice microbrews?
Stella Artois.
Okay. Just like
anything crafty?
Yeah, I don't think I went crafty.
I hate S&M clubs that do not have craft beers.
I know.
Man.
I'm not going to drink a domestic.
I brew my own at home. I don't know if you guys know
this.
But I love craft brewing.
Craft beer, science,
brewing.
Gear.
Yeah, exactly. And just guys.
Movies.
Yeah.
Gaming.
There are no women in here.
Yeah. That's how we like it.
Oh.
Just cool dudes
cool space
talking about
guys.
The lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I may be on the wrong show.
No, here you are. You're on the right show, dude. You got a dick, right? You're on the right show.
Were other people boned out? Were there people
when
stroking it?
When you say boned out, no one was stroking it.
Yeah, I think
it was.
This was just like a show.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't sexual in context. It was, I don't know, it was, I mean, it was clearly like a sexual fantasy, but it wasn't like, no one was getting off. It was just like the experience is what they were there for.
It seems like a hassle if you're not getting off.
No, I don't think that's the
But I guess you don't jerk it in a strip club. I think this is just a type of strip club for someone who's got a different deal.
I do think it's a bit of foreplay, yeah.
I usually jerk it in most entertainment situations.
You and Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm thinking about going to the Chinese New Year show next month.
Mm. Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking about jerking it.
I wouldn't jerk it, Jesse.
You're already thinking about it? You're not going to wait to be inspired by what happens there?
Well, the odds that I'll be inspired, given that the arts come together for heaven and earth.
Sure. Gung Hei Fat Choi. That's what I say.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
It's pretty high. But if I go to the Shun Yun, like it's called, I'm going to end up jerking it.
Then something crazier happened at this place.
Okay.
Well, the end of that story is that she like...
Was there music playing?
Yeah, there's music. It's like a normal club and people are talking, but it's not,
like top 40?
Like
it's, not it's not crazy loud. No, it's like, you know, I think it was like...
Shake It Off. That song is everywhere. You can't get away from it.
There were some
you can't get away from it.
That was surprising that there were like weird popular tunes, but whatever. It's just like a normal club.
Sure. Seems like it would be all Bauhaus or something, you know?
I don't know what that is.
It's like a goth band.
I feel like there was goth music. I remember... Classic rock playing.
Like Sweet Home Alabama?
Skittered,
no,
yeah.
No, like Zeppelin or something.
Gotcha. Okay, that's,
yeah, sure.
I could, you know what? I could see getting spanked to Zeppelin.
Yeah, something a little.
Not today, you won't.
A little dungeon-y.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's got a dungeon-y vibe.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Something with some castles in it.
But she like took, she had a toothbrush and Bilbo's she cleaned
involved.
His boots and then pristinely tied his laces before she was turned back upside, right side up. And then untied and sat down. And that was the whole thing that happened, was she got tied up, flipped upside down.
God, that is specific.
And then she cleaned his boots.
Sure.
Flipped back up, untied. But while we were watching this, this girl came up to me and Thomas and Zach, and she had said that she met me at some point, I forget where, and then she proceeded to...
Oh, on the television show Freaks and Geeks.
Incorrect.
Sunday school.
No, she thought she. I mean, she had seen Freaks and Geeks, but she said that we met somewhere, and I don't. Oh, on an airplane, and that she thought I gave her the eye.
Hmm.
The like, I want to
like
do
hey,
sex
hey,
with you.
Hey,
eye.
Eye
yeah,
or
yeah.
Like the stink eye.
No, like the good eye.
Okay. we should explain.
The
Martin has
the rosy
one
eye.
Good
yeah,
eye
yeah, sure.
And one wonky
I
eye.
Gave her, yeah, I mean, I really have to pull it together when I'm working so that they look normal together.
Right. Sure.
But usually I do have the one that just kind of drifts
it's
off.
It's a glass eye. I mean, it is not even – he lost his eye in an episode. Actually, when he was – before Freaks and Geeks, a lot of people don't know this. Martin was actually on a show called The Voyage of the Mimi.
Mm.
And during
a rogue tarp blew away.
He got in a fight with that old guy with the beard who was leading the whaling ship. Wait, whale observing
and
ship.
He had a tiny harpoon and it went just in my eye.
Got it.
And he pulled it back.
Sure.
And now whenever you see a hot chick on an airplane, you pop that little glass motherfucker out and give it to her.
Yeah.
Giving you the eye.
The funny thing is, right after I did Freaks and Geeks, I did this short film called Eyeball Eddie about a kid with a glass eye.
Oh.
So all of that's true for that backstory.
Sure.
But she said that we had met on an airplane. I gave her the good eye.
Was she in fetish stuff?
No. She was just there, I think, with the same...
Like engineer overalls?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She was there for the same experience I think we were.
She has the train corps style of dress, right?
Train corps!
Yeah, I'm over norm corps. I'm all about train corps now.
Everything! All hickory stripe everything!
Yeah, a little neckerchief.
I don't know.
Pocket watch.
Everybody dresses like Buddy Lee.
Okay, so. Anyway.
What?
It's just like, you know, what if...
It's like a...
Goofies dressed like train guys.
It's like a hipster that dresses like a train engineer at the miniature trains at the
Travel Town.
Yeah, Travel Town.
Well, she did not dress like that. Mm-hmm. She dressed like a normal person. She then told us that she was thinking about going up and getting spanked. But I think it was just to get attention from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, I mean, have you ever done anything like this before? And she was like, no, I was just thinking. And I think it was really just to get, you know, severe amount of attention from us. And then she was like, I would definitely do it if one of you guys were spanking me. And then she kind of painted herself into a corner. Oh, yeah. Also, this woman was married.
Mm.
And we were like, what?
Was her was hubby around?
Husband was not in town. And my first question was, so you just came here on a whim and you're going to go up and get naked in front of everybody?
She probably at least send a text.
Are you going to tell your husband? And she was like, no. Like, it was very obvious that, like, this was just going to be her secret night. I think she was just hoping anything crazy would happen. She was hoping for a story.
Do you think it's possible that she had been on the airplane from Los Angeles to San Francisco with you earlier that day and had been following you ever since?
No, it was not from that day. It was from a long time ago.
So she said.
Yes. And who knows? Maybe
I
did give her the old good eye.
So she did not end up getting a public
no, but
spunking.
One of the guys that owns the place or worked there, managed it maybe, came over and started talking to her. She painted herself into a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
He started talking to her about, like, the logistics of it, and it was interesting to hear him talk to her because he was all about the purity of the act and the experience itself. So he wasn't, like, just trying to get her up and abuse this kind of power that he had, which was that people have this desire to act out sexually or romanticize this, you know, semi-savage experience. And he talked to her about it at great length and talked her out of it, basically. although it didn't take much. She was looking for an out at that point.
Yeah.
But he was like, are you married? And he was like, I don't think you should do this with someone that you haven't been with before, and that I don't think you should be in a relationship outside of this room. Like, you should know the person that's going to perform this with you. And it made the whole thing awesome to be in that club because it wasn't just bullshit, you know? There was a moral code.
There is a lot of, like, jargon that goes along with that stuff. And, yeah, and I think that will scare away the fair weather spanky.
I don't think it was the jargon. I mean, the point I was trying to make was that he had a – there was a – you know.
Yeah, because I could see how this could be something that
wasn't
someone –
just some pervert.
Has a couple drinks and
he was a man. He was a good guy. A gentleman
spanker.
Yeah. And he wasn't necessarily saying that he was going to do it. He was just talking to her about it because first you have to approach somebody, I guess, that runs the place before you just get up on stage and do that stuff.
Sure. I mean, as someone who had his taint washed at Burning Man this year.
Mm-hmm. You did?
I did.
Whoa.
I believe you had your taint blasted.
Taint blasted
you
with
had
a water blaster.
Blast?
I had a taint blast with a water blaster from
did
a
you
man
bend,
who,
did you bend over and get your butthole washed?
I bent and spread, yes. So
you bent and spread?
As to give the blaster access to my taint.
Oh, but
this
what,
has been discussed
what,
on a previous episode.
What you're leaving
I will field
out,
questions.
What you're leaving out is that you were penetrated by water in your butthole cavity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, water got – he was pretty accurate with that.
Why would he only wash the taint when all the –
because he was a taint washer.
– is around the sphincter hole.
Well, he wasn't a sphincter washer.
Yeah. He's a taint washer. That's a whole different guy. And it wasn't a cleanliness thing. It was a –
how many beads did you have to trade him?
Yeah, all of my beads. Give me all your beads.
Two feathers and a gold bead.
I will say that
I. What was nice is he washed your beads for you.
Yeah, it's nice. They were in my. They were in my rectum.
That was good.
I was doing that as a goof, you know, for the story.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Do it for the vine, they say.
Man.
I'm always doing it for the vine.
Jesus Christ. If you want to work in entertainment or just believe in the power of entertainment, don't read the New Yorker profile about professional Vine people.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it'll just make you want to shoot yourself in the face.
Why?
Yeah, okay, continue.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so horrible.
Vine is a thing?
Oh, yes.
Vine is still a thing?
Yeah, like, kids make money yelling at it.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
They put on Falling Over.
They've put on wigs. Sometimes they have wigs, and sometimes they dance to Taylor Swift
songs. Is
this
the Vine app that's paying these people to do this so that they have
more
publicity?
They make sponsored Vines.
Yeah, sneaker companies mostly.
Brands sponsor them
to make
Vines.
It's like mostly like Jordans, like expensive Jordans, right? Anyway.
Is that real?
It's totally real. And it's the worst. It's the fucking worst.
I knew a guy who tried to convince me once that his Vine shorts were funny. And I had to profusely tell him no, it's just not funny. He was so adamant about having like cracked the code on Vine that he was like a brilliant Vine, and it was like interesting.
Nah, dude,
it was interesting, but like in 10 seconds,
I don't even want to watch somebody's Vines whose Vines are funny. I don't even want to watch Matt Bronger's
Vines. Here's one Vine. There's one Vine I can point
to. ADD as it is,
I will describe the one funny Vine. This cat.
The death
guy's filming this cat.
It's pretty good so far.
It's a fluffy cat.
Yeah.
It's like a purebred fluffy cat. It's got a scrunchy face.
Purebred fluffy cat. You must be a breeder.
Yeah, I am a breeder. Yeah, these are technical terms. This is its Latin name.
What kind of cat do you have? A fluffy.
A fluffy.
Martin, you can trust us. This is a Designing Women podcast.
Oh, right. Apologies.
And the person holding the camera asked the cat, do you want a treat? And then the cat opens its mouth. The meow has been replaced. So what happens is the person holding the camera says, do you want a treat? And then the cat goes, yas. It's really funny.
But it's just a short video.
How do they do that?
You know, with THX.
Gotcha.
Lucasfilm.
Gotcha.
They do it up at Skywalker Ranch.
Dolby Digital.
The audience is listening to a cat say yas.
Wait, but I thought the thing about Vine was that you just like hold it, because that's just one clip, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole clip.
It often has a jump cut, a humorous jump cut.
The jump cuts are
instead
what
of a joke.
Make a Vine a Vine. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just looking at a video. So that's not even a Vine.
Otherwise, you're just watching a cool video about Fourth Meal.
The cat says yas 3 times. So these are 3 different.
There's
do you guys want to watch it?
Vines.
I mean,
it's one Vine.
Now
we
I
have
do.
To take some calls. If you hear a cat that says yas, or
yas.
Something else, moment happens to you, we have you call us at 206-984-4FUN for our segment Momentous Occasions. Brian, let's hear our first call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go, and probable guest. This is Ernesto from Los Angeles, and I have a momentous occasion. I was riding my bike up to work through Santa Monica down Main Street, and I look to my right, and there is 2 little old people walking hand in hand, and that's not momentous, but the woman, this little elderly old woman, had on her head a birdcage. Sitting on her head, she wasn't holding it, she wasn't even making sure it was not wobbling, she was just sitting there on her head, and there was a big white bird in the birdcage. I don't know what this was about. I really wanted to stop and take a picture of her, but I thought that might be a little creepy. I guess that's how she takes her bird for walks. I don't know. Yeah, I guess LA, what can you say?
You said it.
Holly weird.
Probably a cockatoo.
Probably a cockatoo. Cockatiel?
Could
I think it was
cockatiel.
A cockatoo or a cockatiel.
Is the first one a cockatiel and the second one you get is a cockatoo?
There's a cocka one and then there's a cockatoo. Let's call the whole thing off.
We just made the perfect Vine.
Only the bird could say yas.
I mean, the guys who made that yas video...
Mm-hmm.
The talent that he has is not necessarily a comedy talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talent in, I guess, cat training.
Sure.
Because he taught a cat to say yas.
Yeah. Yas.
Yeah. I mean, the video is just documenting it.
Like, I mean, you've heard the expression.
It's like David Blaine isn't great at making TV specials. He's great at magic.
You've heard the expression, it's like herding cats.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, imagine trying to teach a cat to say yas. But then your
years,
pipe and smoke
years.
It, Martin Starr.
He probably...
I didn't bring my pipe, but I will remember it next time.
We got another call.
He was probably teaching that cat before Vine was even invented. And he's like, what's the best way to showcase this cat that can say yas?
He's like, if only. He's like, these YouTube videos, they're too long. He only knows one word. It's a miracle. But a miracle of short duration.
Did he make three videos, or are they all one video where he does
so it? So there's one video where the cat says yas three times, but on YouTube, they looped it so you could watch it for 5 minutes straight.
What?
And it's really fun to watch.
I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. Let's all look it up.
Can I tell you what I think of this video?
Yeah. Yeah,
whether please. I'm going to watch it for 5 minutes straight on YouTube? No. No. Let's take our next call. Guys, stop watching the Yas video.
We'll listen.
We're trying to podcast.
Jordan, Jesse, go. Momentous occasion number two, because this is Van, formerly from Alabama, currently Aspen, Colorado.
There he is.
Standing ovation.
Correction. Hi, Van.
I blame my very thick, syrupy accent. But my name is actually Ben, as in Benjamin, not Van, as in the vehicle. If you guys are disappointed in that and want to hate me,
Van
be fine.
Is not the first syllable in Ben.
Yeah, just listened to the episode today with Mark Maron and heard you guys talk about me again, which tickled me to death. But yeah, Aspen life, pretty cool. Definitely a lot more snow than I'm used to. Snowboarding is
on the podcast
a little difficult to get used to. My ass has been bruised up a couple times, but it's all good. Working as a lifty, no weed business for me. I'm working for Aspen Skiing Company, and if any listeners or yourselves happen to see a guy from Alabama on his name tag named Ben, as in Benjamin, not the vehicle, say hey.
What?
Love to talk to you. But, yeah, other than that, Ben,
who
pretty
drives
simple.
A Ben?
Easy job listening to Jordan Jesse Go and never
Benz?
Not funny. And
I'm Mercedes Ben.
Good Sean Hodgman a lot, so just to pass the time, it's a very boring job. But, just as last time, y'all be good. Love y'all. Roll Tide.
We roll Tide.
Don't
roll
knock
tide.
It out of your
we love
drive
you
block.
Too.
We don't need all
right,
roll Tide.
You may bye. Have tried to defy us. By claiming that your name was Benjamin, like the vehicle?
It's Van, like the man.
Yeah, exactly.
Van the man.
Van the man!
It's Van!
Van the man from Aspen, from Alabama!
Martin, for your comprehension, this was a cool guy who called a couple weeks ago, who's got a cool, stony, southern accent, who's
there
moving
is.
To Aspen.
And he just seems really chill. He's just going to chill the fuck
he's
out
he's got a
Aspen,
chill vibe.
Man.
He did
he's
say his whole name
Aspen
was...
Aspen Skiing Company.
...was not like the vehicle. His full name was Vangerman.
It's short for Vangina.
Vangerman is like his avocation. That's like his passion. Get up in those Vangers. You know what I'm talking about. That guy is a van hound.
Man.
That's why they call him Van the Man. Oh. Hey, Van, how about this? From me to you, hit up some of those dope-ass art galleries in Aspen, man.
Hey, Van, that's where we get the expression, two in the pink. One in the van.
Yeah. Van the man.
That's not a saying. And vans. No one goes in the van. The van is the place you're specifically told as a child to stay away from.
Yeah. Because it's too chill in there.
I got two children. You know how I had them?
Guys.
Got up in that van.
Guys, cat says yes.
Okay.
You want a tree? Yes. You want one? Yes. You want one? Yes.
Pretty funny, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who sponsored that? Yeah. Fruity Loops?
The cats wearing Jordans.
Yeah.
That'd be cute if they made some little Jordans for a cat.
Like some exclusive J's.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jessico.
Bye forever.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm the other guy.
Can I say something right now?
Please.
Yeah.
I know a lot of industry heavy hitters listen to Jordan Jesse Go. That's why Jordan and I are so successful in the industry.
Oh, right.
We've had a lot of opportunities come our way, thanks to Jordan Jesse Go. Guy that used to work on Archer emailed us. He's really nice.
No others.
That's the only one I can think of right now. But yeah. I mean, that's
there's probably
solid.
Been there's probably been others.
And that guy used to work on Archer. That's just the greatest. So, if you're out there and you're a show business insider, or you're friends with a show business insider, or you're fucking a show business insider,
you are,
or you're kissing cousins with a show business insider, I say you should vote for Silicon Valley for all the awards.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, yay.
Win awards.
I think there's only, what is it? I don't know. I don't know who votes for those, for the Golden Globes. Must be Golden Globe.
If you're a member of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
We're talking to you, Bjorn.
If you're Ricky Gervais.
So only foreigners can vote?
Yeah, only foreigners vote on the Golden Globes.
Well,
the Golden Globes are a real farce.
Some guy named Torsten.
Yeah. Torsten, if you're out
there. If you're out
there,
Torsten Horgmo.
Yeah.
Thanks for nominating.
Yes. Yes. I enjoy Silicon Valley, the American farce. I also enjoy the capering of Johnny Depp. To us, he is still famous.
If you haven't yet seen Silicon Valley, you should watch it on your HBO On Demand or whatever.
HBO Go.
There you go. It is fucking delightful. It is a delightful program.
Hilarious.
Also has a lot of emotions and feelings in it. A lot of compelling performances. Martin's not the only past Jordan Jesse Go guest on the show. Kumail Nanjiani is also on the show. He's wonderful.
And we're a part of the best dick joke in history.
It's true.
In my opinion.
It's, yeah.
It's not, maybe not. Listen, I haven't accounted for all dick jokes. But it's a pretty solid.
There were some dick jokes in ancient Mesopotamia that I think you're not accounting for.
I bet there were.
Gilgamesh's dick was so big. So watch that shit. It's great.
Yeah.
So watch that shit. It's great.
It's great. It's a great show. Martin.
I feel like that was your gangster voice. Your
watch
cool.
that shit, son.
Man. Mm-hmm. That was your rap voice.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you're Drake.
Yeah.
Do you love the Toronto Raptors now?
To be fair, unlike Drake, I am actually from the inner city.
My man.
I do have a little urban credibility. Yeah. Not a Toronto Raptors booster.
He is like a upper class. Wasn't he like a middle upper class kid?
Yeah, he's probably a nice guy. He is a nice guy. My friend Martin told me he's a nice guy. I have no reason to disbelieve. He's very handsome, very charismatic.
He's doing well.
He's a passable singer and a passable rapper. He's a real B-minus rapper, a real B-minus singer. So God bless him.
I'd go in the C's, but yeah, sure.
We did a thing on him at midnight and called him a living cushion soaked in buttermilk.
Oh, man, that seems aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody likes him. People seem to like him. He's doing well. So what does it matter? I just don't get it.
Well, you know.
But there's a lot of stuff I don't get.
God bless him.
Teen girls like some weird stuff.
I wish him all the best. You know what I like? That Shake It Off song. It's a fun song.
Shake It Off.
It's undeniable.
Drake produced that.
Really? Well, maybe he should stick to his true calling.
No, I don't think he did. Yeah. But maybe he did.
I think Taylor Swift does it all herself.
Our producer is Brian Fernandez. Our theme music, Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. You can join us on the internet. How about MaximumFun.reddit.com? How about forum.MaximumFun.org? How about hashtagging a tweet, JJGo? Some fun tweets this week. I enjoyed that. Did you enjoy all those tweets that people tweeted with the hashtag Marin Walks?
Yeah, I did. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun, so thanks for that.
Yeah.
Above all else, get your plane tickets now. We got shows in L.A. and San Francisco.
Yeah.
Get your asses out there.
I want to see people at both.
I'll shake your hand. I'm not above shaking your hand.
And Jordan will shake your dick.
I'll shake your dick or pussy.
I don't want your hand
to be
gangrenous.
No, I'll shake a pussy.
Really? You gotta shake that puss.
You gotta shake that puss. Yas. Yes. Jordan, you gotta shake that puss.
Yas.
Yas. Yas.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Love you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.